Welcome to Searchlight, a survey through Scripture with Pastor John Corson. It is our desire to bring you a systematic study of the entire Bible, chapter by chapter, book by book. Over the last couple of Searchlight programs, we have been looking at the sad story of Samson and Delilah. Samson was a man who allowed his lustful sins to control his life. And because of this, he failed throughout most of his life to be the leader that God wanted him to be. So far in our story with Delilah, we see that Samson has made some serious mistakes. First, he allows himself to be in the place of temptation time and time again, and finally, he yields to that temptation. Second, Samson seems to believe that he is an exception to God's rules. He has indulged in some sins apparently without repercussion. This leads him to do more sin. But Samson made the mistake that we often make regarding our sin. We mistake God's patience and mercy for apathy and acceptance. God will not be mocked by our sin, and Samson is about to find that out. Now, with the conclusion to our story, here is Pastor John.
Samson here is going to get the proverbial haircut. Notice that each time that he's tied up, or ultimately when he's pulled down by getting the haircut, he's sleeping. I can't help but wonder if Samson wasn't unusually vulnerable to this kind of thinking and this kind of stupidity because he was tired. I give you that to think through, you that are loving God and serving Him. There can be, I think, a real danger in becoming fatigued, in becoming weary, in becoming tired. Now the world knows that. That's why they sell you all these ab rollers and Ginsu knives when? Late at night. You would never buy them at any other time, but when you're tired and you're staring at the tube, oh, I'll buy that, I guess. Why do those shows come on after midnight? Because they know that's where the sales are. Why? Because people are pooped. They're not thinking right. They're going to buy ab rollers. I mean, do you think ab rollers work, folks? Well, you do it 1 a.m. when you had your fourth box of Wheat Thins. You say, you know, I'm going to order that thing, you know. We buy into stuff that we otherwise would not be buying into late at night. That same principle is true spiritually. When I'm tired, when you're tired, when we're tired, it's very easy to fall asleep on the lap of a Delilah and be tricked. Be careful. God says, take a Sabbath. God says, come to me and you'll find rest in your soul. God says, my burden is easy, my load is light. And there are indications that each of you know when you are beginning to get tired and weary. Be warned, be wise, because that's when Delilah's voice suddenly sounds reasonable. So here he is, asleep again, on her knees. He should have been awake on his, what? Knees. But he's asleep on her knees. And she called for a man. Notice this, she didn't cut his hair. Most people think that Delilah cut his hair. No, she just puts him to sleep. And she calls for a barber and caused this man to shave off the 7 locks of his head, and she began to afflict him, pound on him. His strength went from him, and she said, the Philistines are here, Samson. And he woke up out of his sleep and said, oh, I will go out as other times before and shake myself. Samson stood up and said, no problem. I'll do just what I've done previously. This next phrase is, I think, one of the saddest phrases in all of the Bible. And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. He didn't know. He thought everything was, hey, okay. That's the sad thing. When a person falls into, or walks, I should say more correctly, into sin, like Samson did, they're the last ones to know that they're no longer the person they once were. They think, hey, I'm just as charming as ever as I'm having my scotch and bourbon. Or I'm suave as I'm here at this place of entertainment where I previously would absolutely refuse to go, you see. Or whatever it might be. And others look and say, what happened to you? The person who has had the Spirit depart from him or her, they're the last ones to know. Sad to say, he didn't know. No problem, he said. I'll just do what I've done previously. He stood up, but the Lord, the source of his strength, the Holy Spirit. Again, I'm pounding this home for a reason. The secret of his strength was his consecration. The source of his strength was the Holy Ghost. That's the winning combination. Some people are consecrated, they're real disciplined and dedicated, but they are not recipients of the power of the Spirit. Although they understand the secret of strength, they don't have the source of power. Others have received the power of the Spirit. They speak in tongues, they prophesy, they move in the miraculous, perhaps, maybe. But there's no consecration, dedication, discipline. See? And they have the source, but they don't have the secret. The winning combination is the source, Holy Spirit coming upon me. And the secret, by my letting my hair grow. I don't mean literally, but letting everybody know, myself too, that I am consecrated and dedicated to you, God. And that's where I'm at. I want everybody to know at work, everybody to know on the campus, everybody to know in the community that I am yours. I'm not going to be a closet Christian, a secret agent for the kingdom. I am going to be noticed and known. I am going to be consecrated outwardly, publicly, you see. But now that symbol of his consecration is gone. And so the secret of his strength has been discovered by the enemy. The Philistines, verse 21, they took him, put out his eyes, and brought him down to Gaza, bound him with fetters of brass, and he did grind in the prison house. We talked about this a few weeks ago. Verse 21 is one that you need to share with your kids. Here's what sin will do. It will blind you, it will bind you, and it will grind you. His eyes were poked out. He was bound with fetters. And he was grinding grain day after day like an animal down in Gaza, down in the enemy's territory. Animals would grind grain. They would push a huge millstone that would weigh sometimes up to a ton. Oxen would be pushing this beam that would then turn this massive millstone where the women would pour their grain, and this oxen would go round and round, pushing this beam that would turn the stone. The grain would then be ground. Animals work. And I've seen, you've seen, we've seen people that were once used by the Lord and fruitful in their lives, and now they're just going round in circles. Life has become a grind. Because, like Samson, they thought, hey, I can get away with this. And they found, no, you can't. The wages of sin is death. Things die. Things are never the same. And so he's grinding grain like an animal. The binding, the blinding, and the grinding of sin. But, verse 22, the hair of his head began to grow again. There's grace in the story, folks. There's grace. Oh, share this too. For those that have erred like Samson, maybe this is for you. The hair grew. Man, if I was a Philistine, I would have had a barber there every day. you know, giving him a fresh shave. But hey, they didn't understand, and his hair began to grow. Not just the hair growing, but obviously something was happening internally. He realized the fool he's been, the error he made. And he's going to have his greatest day. His greatest moment is yet to be. You say, well, okay, well, that's cool. So if I blow it big time, I might end up in a bind for a while or blind for a season. But then, hey, my hair will grow again, right? Where sin abounds, grace abounds more. What shall we say, Paul said, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God what?
Forbid.
Again, God?
Forbid.
God forbid. Why? His hair grew, but his eyes never came back. Understand that fact. God restores. But certain things are lost forever because of sin. And the longer you live, the more you experience life, personally and observationally, you realize, oh, the grace of God. How gracious God is. He restores the years the locust has eaten. He gives beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Oh, God, he does. That's true, but it is also true that there are permanent repercussions. When I sin, when you sin, when we sin, the hair grows again, but the eyes didn't come back. He would be blind until the day that he died. Fear God, hate sin. The Bible says the fear of God is to hate sin. Because sin will leave permanent scars on you, on me. Samson found that to be true in his story. His hair grew, his eyes wouldn't come back. The lords of the Philistines gathered together to offer a great sacrifice unto Dagon, their god. Dagon, as you know, was the fish god, half fish, half man, the Philistine god. Actually, they borrowed him from the Assyrians, by the way, parenthetically. That's why when Jonah was sent to preach to the Assyrians, the capital there was Nineveh, God delivered him in a fish. Interesting. Because they worshipped the fish god, the half man, half fish. Now, here comes a guy that's barfed onto their beach from a fish. And they would say, heavy. This guy must have a message from God, you see. They worshipped the god Dagon. The top part of his body was a man, the statues, the idols that they made. The bottom was a fish. By the way, that's where we get mermaids from. The idea of mermaid is actually linked to the ancient Assyrian Philistine god Dagon. So think about that next time you see Little Mermaid. Be that as it may. I'm just kidding. Be that as it may. They said, we're going to go worship our god Dagon, you see. For our God has delivered Samson into our hand. And when the people saw him, Samson, this guy that was blind and just ordinary looking like any other man, they praised their God. Our God hath delivered into our hands our enemy. Oh, that's the tragedy of sin. It gives the enemies of God a reason to rejoice. It always does. See, I knew. See, that proves. I thought so, they'll say, when they see one of us fail miserably. They rejoiced. And it came to pass, verse 25, when their hearts were merry. They said, call for Samson that he may make us sport. He'll entertain us for a while. Well, they called for Samson out of the prison house. And he made them sport. That is, he entertained them as he was brought in. They jeered and mocked and laughed and whooped and hollered and all the rest. And they set him between the pillars. And Samson, verse 26, said to the lad that held him by the hand, Allow me that I may feel the pillars whereupon the house stands, that I may lean upon them. Now the house, this temple to Dagon, was full of men and women, and all the leaders, the lords of the Philistines, were there. And there were about 3,000 men and women on the roof, which means in the balcony, and they were looking down, making fun of Samson. Verse 28, Samson called to the Lord and said, "O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee. Strengthen me, I pray thee, only this once, O God, that I may be at once avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes." The enemy has blinded me, Samson is saying essentially. God, deal with the enemy who blinds. God honors this prayer. Deal with the enemy who blinds. See, the Bible tells you and me that the god of this world, Satan, has blinded the eyes of men. They're not seeing the glory and grandeur and greatness and grace of God, because there's a blindfold over their eyes that Satan has placed there. And like Samson, we need to pray, Lord, deal with the enemy. May the enemy be bound. Satan and his demonic henchmen, may those forces, those entities, and Satan specifically, who has caused people not to see your goodness and your grace, deal with the enemy. And he makes this prayer. And Samson, verse 29, took hold of the two middle pillars upon which the house stood and which it was born up, of the one on his right hand, the other with his left. And Samson said, "Let me die with the Philistines." He bowed himself with all his might, and the house fell upon the lords and upon all the people that were in the house. So the dead which he slew at his death were more than they which he slew in his life. We talked about this on Sunday. A message entitled "Dying to Greatness." If you weren't here, perhaps you'll want to pick it up or access it on the internet. Because Samson's great moment was not 20 years of beating back Philistines in his life, but at the moment of his death. And greatness can come to you, and greatness will come to me when we say, "I choose to bow myself like Samson, to take up my cross," even as he was positioned with his arms outstretched. When I too choose to do what Jesus did when he died, that I might be redeemed, when I choose to die to my rights or my position, my perspective, my arguments, and believe me, I'm dealing with this right now, today. There's a whole lot that I want to say in light of things that have been brought up or brought out or said concerning our fellowship. I was talking to Peter John before service tonight, saying there are so many things I would like to say, yes, but, however. Let me tell you the full story. Let me explain to you something which you don't have a clue about, Mr. Editorial. Let me explain to you what you don't have a clue about, Miss Tribune Writer. But you know what? That's not what the Lord has called us to do. He's called us to die. What does that mean? Oh, it doesn't mean that we don't do what's right. We need to. It doesn't mean that we don't go through the right channels. We're supposed to. But I also know when there's this thing that gets rumbling in my gut and the hair on my neck begins to stand up and I can feel myself getting a little bit agitated and irritated. You know what that is? It's my flesh. See? It's my flesh. My dear friend Bob Thornley over here shared something with me a few weeks ago. He said, "John, when they put Jesus on trial, it was over a building problem." He said, They, the accusers of Jesus, declared that day. He said, destroy the temple, and in 3 days he'll build it up. Well, that's technically true, but it misses the point entirely. Jesus wasn't talking about the temple. He was talking about the temple of his body. But they, with their witnesses, made a statement that was technically true, but totally wrong. And Jesus didn't say a word. And I'm wrestling with this, because there's a lot of words that I'd like to say. There's a lot of things I'd like to say. Hey, you don't have the full story. You don't know what's going on behind the scenes. You don't know what the reality is. And I could make a very powerful, powerful case to perhaps persuade lots and lots of Medford Mail Tribune readers. But you know what? What does it matter if you win the battle and lose the war? What does it matter if you win the world and lose souls? And I think that the Lord truly is dealing with me and with us in leadership and you guys that are linked with us here in the ministry to just say, hey, whatever. Whatever. We're not going to fight this or do that. We'll just, if you're saying, okay, whatever. Trying to be wise as we can to protect what God has entrusted to our care. But I need your prayers, because I tell you, the temptation for me, you know, I like to talk. Do you know that? And I have some things I'd like to say very definitely. But Samson here did more damage to the enemy when he died than when he lived. And Jesus died when they got him on a building technicality. He died. And rather, he said when he hung there on the cross that day, our hero, our model, our teacher, our lover, our Lord, our leader, what did Jesus say? Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. And there are people that I've had to pray about today and say, Father, forgive them in this constant attack, this obsession. They don't understand. Have mercy. And I realize that I need to learn the lesson of sin. It's amazing when you're going through the Bible, wherever you're at is where you're at. And I realize that we can do more damage to the kingdom of darkness and death by choosing to die than we can by demanding to live. So Samson did just that. He bowed himself. He died. And more were killed in that way than were killed in the 20 years of his ministry, of his life, in his public service previously. So his brothers and his family, the house of his father, verse 31, came down and took him and brought him up and buried him between Zorah and Eshtaol. They took him and buried him there in the burying place of Manoah his father. And he judged Israel 20 years.
Interesting lessons from the life of Samson. He had so many problems with sin during his life, but he died in greatness. We recently aired an entire teaching on this point. It is a very important principle, and you may want to listen to the teaching from our website if you missed it. The teaching is called Dying to Greatness.
This teaching is also available on the Searchlight website at johncorson.com. You will also find on the website Pastor John's books and other Bible study resources. Again, the address of the website is johncorson.com.
Pastor John has often encouraged us to spend time each day contemplating the Word of God. One great way to do this is with a daily devotional. Pastor John has put together 3 daily devotionals that cover the entire Bible. a pillar by day, and a day of feasting are taken from the Old Testament. A day's journey is a devotional from the New Testament. Each daily devotional has 365 short meditations and are presented in John's insightful and practical style. You may order each daily devotional from our website at johncorson.com.
Searchlight is a listener-supported ministry. We appreciate your prayers and support. May the Lord richly bless you.